The 395th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54 to 53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! You're all the way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court. Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to him. Long outside shot. Short rebounded. May. It's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72. And how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champion.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school. I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh and Anthony, we're back with you guys once again today with a special edition of the show because we had a dual interview. We had the chance to talk with Jackson Simmons last week, former Carolina basketball player in the 2010s, spent some time in the NBA with the Hornets on their video side. And has now taken a role at Western Carolina on their coaching staff. And we had a chance to talk about all of his different experiences in the basketball world, his time at Carolina, obviously, what he did in the NBA, and why he thinks he's best suited to be a coach in the college game moving forward. So without any further ado, guys, let's get to our conversation with former Tar Heel Jackson Simmons. We are now joined by former Carolina basketball player, a guy that I grew up was a player on some of my favorite teams as a kid. He is Jackson Simmons. Jackson, good afternoon, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Just here in Cullowhee, trying to get ready for this upcoming season. And, just thank you for having me guys on here. I'm really looking forward to talking to you guys.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk with us. Appreciate Anthony thinking about bringing you on, and we're excited to talk with you. We'll start with your time in the NBA. You were with the Charlotte Hornets for six seasons. What was your favorite experience working in the NBA?
That's a pretty good question.
Thank you.
Probably would be the fact of getting to work with some of the best minds in the game from a coaching perspective and then from a player perspective. It's something that I never really dreamed about doing. I always thought that for me that I was going to work in the college game, and that's what I always wanted to do was be a college coach. But there was an opportunity probably it would have been 6 years ago where Mitch Kupchak, Buzz Peterson, James Borrego wanted to see if I was interested in joining the video room with the Hornets. And I never known at the time that was a role, but being able to have that experience the last 6 years and be able to grow from a assistant video coordinator all the way into a head video coordinator was something that I'll never forget about. And just being able to work closely with some of the best minds in the game worldwide was something that was beyond even thinking that I would ever experience in the coaching profession.
You mentioned James Borrego. You even mentioned him in your post, thanking him for the opportunity. He's getting considered now for the Lakers job. There were a lot of people in the Hornets fan base that were upset when he was let go. I was one of those guys that made it known that I thought that was the wrong decision. What was it like working for James Borrego, and do you think he is the right guy to lead the next iteration of the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, to start off, Coach Borrego was one of the best people that I'd ever worked with. He really cared about the team. He really cared about the levels that it took to have a successful program. And from a video room perspective, that's where he got his start in San Antonio. And he really put a lot of value into the video room, and he took a lot of the input as well. And there's some coaches that don't take that you stay in your place, you work your way up, and then when you get to the part of being an assistant coach, they will listen. But JB was always great about, no matter what role somebody had, he was always up to listening for whatever their ideas were. And the players, he was a great players coach. Guys loved being around him. He brought a very calming, down-to-earth mentality to the guys, and there was never an uneasy moment being around him. And I think he's going to be great whatever job he gets. I think he would be great for LA. I think he would be great for anybody. But he knows how to handle superstars that come with that expect championships, and LeBron and Anthony Davis. And he would be somebody that wouldn't take that role lightly. And I know that instantly their offense would be in a very, very good place. And a lot of his ideas on the defensive end as well, he would bring a really great winning culture there to the Lakers.
Hey, Jackson, great to talk to you, man. You know, the thing is, with the Hornets organization, you got to see a lot of Tar Heels along the way, and they ranged from everybody, including Michael Jordan, who was the owner, Mitch Kupchak, the GM, all the way down to a guy that was, you know, on the roster this past year in Leaky Black. What was that experience like, having so many guys around you that went through the same experience that you did, being a Carolina basketball player and then eventually moving to the NBA level?
It was great, and we call it the Carolina family for a reason. And the funny thing is that a lot of those guys that a lot of people would say, well, have you known him? And it's like, yeah, I've known him ever since. I knew Leaky when he was a junior in high school, and I was a graduate assistant at UNC Charlotte, and he was coming to our team camp. So just to be able to share those experiences before Carolina, but then also to talk to guys like Marvin, who I used to work out with Marvin in the summer when I was a freshman and sophomore in college. And just being able to, like you said, talk about those stories and being able to compare stories of things Marvin went through that I went through, that Leaky went through, and comparing what was similar and what wasn't similar, it was very, very unique. And I think, honestly, the best thing, too, was being able to help guys that had Carolina ties, bring them in and allow them to get into the NBA. And I know it's happened a lot in college, and that's one thing that I wanted to do. And to have Brandon Robinson in our video room last year, and then now he's with the Utah Jazz and doing great things. That's what it's all about. And to be able to reciprocate that, just like Coach Williams has done, like Hubert's done, and so many coaches before, Dean Smith, Coach Guthridge, all that has been something that has been very meaningful. And that's why there's no other family like it in basketball, both college and professionally.
Well, occasionally you've had guys as well that have been on the other side of the rivalry with Duke that have been there, Vernon Carey, Marcus Bolden, as well as Mark Williams. So do you notice, like, is there – when they get to the NBA level, do guys kind of still go back and forth? Do maybe you even throw some jabs out when it gets to that time of the year to some of those guys when it comes to the rivalry?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there definitely is.
We love it.
We definitely keep tabs on each other. And the worst is when, if you've played against those guys, I mean, I know Leaky and Mark, I know they threw their head-to-heads out there, and they had a lot of stuff to talk about. But yeah, we definitely keep tabs on each other. And it's not just with Carolina and Duke. I used to keep tabs with Ish Smith when he was with Wake. And I'm trying to think if there's been any NC State guys. I don't know if there was any NC State guys.
Yeah, Cody Martin would probably qualify. But
what's that?
The Martin twins, right? Those were probably the only ones I can think of.
That's right, yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah, the funny thing about them, and I always gave them a little heck about it, they were just Wolfpack guys because they went to NC State and then they went to Nevada and they were both Wolfpack. So it was a pretty easy transition for them. But even with the Kentucky guys too, like Malik and PJ, we used to always keep tabs on each other. It's always great. And we always compare stories because when you play for a great coach, you always want to compare, okay, Coach Williams did it this way. You know, how did all these other great coaches do it? And that's one thing that I've really enjoyed with my time as well, with building my coaching background and perspective, is how did all these other great coaches do it? And how did they help mold these guys? Like Coach Williams molded, he molded Marvin, he molded Leakey, and then you got Tom Izzo who molded Miles Bridges. It's so interesting to see all the different ways that they worked these guys and being able to say, all right, you know, I like that and I like that, and being able to cherry pick a little bit on some great ways of handling players.
You mentioned playing for a great coach. You certainly did in the former Roy Williams, a man that won 3 national championships, over 900 games. I'm interested to know what your relationship was like with him as a player compared to what your relationship is like now that you're in the coaching world, having been in the NBA and now back in the college game.
Well, I'll start with how it is, with how it was then. He was the one coach that I would say that no matter if things were going really bad or really good, everything was positive. We always had the saying, we can still accomplish all our goals and our dreams. And he always had that feeling. And, you know, even when we would lose, I think it was my sophomore year, we lost 3 out of 4 games to start the ACC play. Yep. And we ended up going on a 13-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
But during that whole time that we were struggling, there was always a sense of positivity that we could get things done. And as a player, me and his relationship, I'd run through a brick wall for him. And I wanted to play hard for him, just like a lot of guys did. And the care that he had for that university and for that program is unmatched. And it was infectious. You wanted to play well to represent the University of North Carolina. And now being in the pros, it's changed a little bit, but in the sense of asking for how you want to run things, how about career advice, about family advice. I talked with him in a great deal about taking this job at Western Carolina and running through a lot of the things that I was thinking, and he was he helped me tremendously trying to figure that out. So to kind of answer it, there's been parts that it's changed from a professional standpoint after playing, but it's still somebody that I spent over 400 days with practice over 4 years, numerous hundreds of games, and that relationship and that care is still there. It's definitely been a relationship that I've definitely held on to ever since I left 9 years ago.
One of my favorite things to do is when we get on a Coach Smith player, I try to see if they're willing to do an impression of them. When it comes to guys that played for Coach Williams, if they had a favorite, what I like to call a Roy-ism, because we all know that he had a different vernacular than we ever used. Do you have a favorite Roy-ism that you find yourself using, whether it's in your coaching life or just in your everyday personal life?
Well, I'll say this. He's the one coach that I have worked for and played for that I struggle to do an imitation of. I cannot I cannot do it. And I can do the voices of all my other coaches, but he's the one that I can never get down, because the pitches can go from really, really low to really, really high. And I just can't do it. But there's plenty of coachisms. Ironically, I use dead gum a lot. I do use that. I use that quite a bit. The old mantra, play hard, play smart, play together, hard work. A lot of quotes for our thought for the day. One that I still use a lot is Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was worked on every day. And there are some more, but those are really the ones that really stand out to me. And then there's a few traditional things that I still do that we did that that I still go back to, but those are probably the main ones for me from a quotes perspective.
All right. Hey, from a player's perspective from you and your time there, you were a guy that, look, didn't play a lot of minutes, but it felt like whenever you were in the game, there was some sort of impact, whether it was emotional. So for you, did you feel like that was kind of your role, was to come in and sort of energize the team whenever you got that call from Coach Williams?
It was. And that's probably another thing. And I don't even think there was a quote that really lays down what he said, but it was always kind of it was along the same mantra of Bill Belichick, do your job. And I felt that my job when I played was to come in, set great screens, play hard, get rebounds, and just do all the little things that may not show up in the stat column. And in the most basic way, I viewed the jobs this way. Marcus was the point guard. He was a screener and he was a scorer. Reggie was a scorer. James Michael was a scorer and was a great defensive player. And I viewed it in that way. And it was so clear cut with me that I viewed it in the sense of what I'm going to do when I get in is I'm going to help our team win by doing the little things, no matter what it is. And it got to the point that to me, it was a big deal. And from a coaching side, that's been one thing that I've told players from all ages is if you go and you watch even NBA games right now, you're obviously going to see the Lucas of the world. You're going to see LaMelo. You're going to see Shea, and you're going to see Anthony Edwards. You're going to see those guys that are talented generational players, and they're going to be the ones that do it all. But what you're also seeing is you're seeing guys that are getting paid like the Rudy Goberts, the Naz Reeds, the Dorts of the world, guys like that who they have a job that they're supposed to do. And it may not be to always have the ball in their hand and go out and get 30 or 40 points, but their role is to do what they do very well because it can help the team, and they take great pride in that. So really, looking back on it now, I viewed my job as that of what an NBA role player would be, and that was to whatever I'm great at, do that. And it may be magnified more in certain situations, and it may not be, but if you keep doing it constantly and you do it day in and day out, it is going to help you increase your playing time, but then it is also going to be infectious. And the most rewarding thing has been to hear teammates that I've played with that have said 5 and 6 years later, man, you were the hardest playing player on our team. And it was very infectious. And I even had one say, wow, I didn't realize what it was like to really accept a role until I got to where I am now. And I thought of what you had to go through. So really it was to just do the best that I could. And if it meant something, if the moment ended up being very big, great. If not, it was old hat for me. I wanted to just go and play. And the way that I did that was playing hard and helping other guys get open and take a little bit of the burden off of them.
Well, you played for some really good teams, some really entertaining teams in your time at Carolina, but I think the one that sticks out is the one team that you were on as a freshman, which was that 2011-2012 team. You know, what was that like being around that team with just so much talent, guys like Harrison Barnes, Tyler Zeller, John Henson, Kendall Marshall, all those types of guys? I mean, that had to be a great team environment with all those guys.
It was. For a freshman, it was very eye-opening because they complemented each other so well. And as a center, you had to guard, you had to guard Tyler Zeller, who could run the floor very, very well, and very skilled. But then you also had to try and get your shot up over John Henson. And I've never seen anybody alter and affect shots like John Henson did. And obviously you had Kendall, who was one of the best passers and advanced passers I've ever seen, even in an NBA lineup. You had Reggie Bullock, who was probably the best teammate that I've ever had. And then Harrison Barnes, who was probably one of the best workers that I've ever played with. And just to be able to be around those guys and to see what it takes day in and day out to compete and to try and get any growth in your game was eye-opening. And it was, I mean, I hate it for that team so much, because it really goes back to really what you see in the NBA now, with there's so many great teams that have to deal with injuries that their season gets cut short because of that. And really that team is an example of what goes on now more than ever. Is a lot of your great runs, there's a lot of luck that goes into it, because you're really just trying to survive the injury bug.
Speaking of the injury bug, if Marshall doesn't get hurt, does Carolina cut down the nets in 2012? I think, you know, at least from my standpoint, that's the biggest what if of the Roy Williams era.
Yeah. Like I said, there has to be a lot of luck. There would have been a lot of luck that would have gone into it, because there were some really good teams that would have been there as well. But we would have definitely had a great chance. And honestly, I think the best thing that happened to us too was we did have a lot of growth that happened because of those injuries. And, you know, Stillman was able to come in and he had some great moments. James Michael's role increased a lot with John's injury. And there were a lot of other great players and situations that had to grow into that. And Justin Watts, when Dexter got hurt, and Dexter was hurt, and Leslie McDonald was hurt. So that opened up a lot more opportunities for Justin Watts and PJ Harrison. So, and Reggie as well. I mean, Reggie ended up being a very big part of that run as well, with his shooting and with his team defense and rim running. So there was a catch 22 to it, but it would have, everybody at full strength, that we would have had a very, very good chance to back up being the preseason number one that we had that season.
We're talking with former Carolina basketball player Jackson Simmons. Jackson, let's bring it to the present. The Heels are coming off a season where they won an ACC regular season title, were a number one seed, and made the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. How much do you keep up with the current iteration of the Tar Heels? And I'd like to know your thoughts on the job that Hubert Davis has done so far, three seasons on the job in Chapel Hill.
Yeah. Well, I just like anybody that's played, I still keep tabs on him. And, you know, it's the job that Hubert did this year with bouncing back and, you know, making that run was great. I was so happy for him. And I always call him Dad whenever I talk to him, because he was a father figure to me, and we had a lot of he worked with me very, very closely. And the one thing that I always remember with him was that, you know, I was a preferred walk on that earned a scholarship coming into my freshman year, and the time that he spent with me, you would have thought that I was a first team All American candidate, and that's who he is. And he made me realize and enhance my vision of what my role meant. And I know that's what he's doing there right now, is selling those guys on an idea of whatever your role is, whatever you're really great at, do that, and you're going to help us succeed. And I think he's done a tremendous job. He cares about that. He cares about the University of North Carolina, and you can see that in him. You know, you could see it in the way Coach Williams cared about it, and you can definitely see it in how he cares about it. And I know he reached out to me telling me how proud he was of me with coming back to Western, and I still know a lot of people that work there, and a lot of those people that I worked with recruited me as well. Jeff Lebo recruited me at ECU. I played for Coach Frederick, played for Eric Hoots when he was there. I was teammates with Marcus Page. You know, Sean May was always around during the summer, and we learned a lot from playing with him. So, and I've gotten to know Pat Sullivan very, closely as well, too, with being in the NBA and a lot of our connections, too. So he's got a really good – he's got a staff that cares about the University of North Carolina and that play there and know what the expectations are. And, you know, and I'll even say this, the fact that Jonas Serration is still there, the importance that he's played not only with that program but my playing career as well has been something that's kept a lot of continuity there as well.
Hey, Jackson, so now you go back to Cullowhee. You were there from July of 2017 through April of 2018. You know, what? Mm-hmm. First of all, what does this opportunity mean for you, and what exactly is the role that you're going to be taking with the Catamounts?
So assistant, I'm going to be an assistant coach, and nice. You know, I can't thank Tim Kraft enough for the opportunity to be on the staff and at a place that means so much to me. And Coach Kraft was also a guy too that was with Jeff Lebo at Auburn and at ECU, and he recruited me during those times as well. And he did a tremendous job at Gardner Webb, won the Big South championship back in 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job constantly winning over 10 games a year from a conference standpoint and sending a lot of guys to the pros and doing a great job that way. And really my role is to right now, there's still a lot of sorting out that's going to be going on, but it's going to be right now from what I've understood is helping out with the bigs, helping them grow and, you know, and being, and really the biggest influence I'm helping with as well is just this community. It's a community that my mom and dad played here. My mom's in the Hall of Fame at Western Carolina. And it's a place that I grew up for 18 years of my life before coming to Chapel Hill. And it's a sports loving town. They really have put in a lot of effort and dedication into the whole athletic department to make it a world-class experience for our student athletes. And it's a place that we feel that we can win. We feel like we can get great players to come in and help us win. So it's an opportunity that I'm very, very excited about, and that I hope that from the players that are here, being able to being able to give back and demonstrate what it's like to be a pro to them is something that I'm looking forward to putting on them and helping them accept that challenge.
It's awesome.
One last thing, Jackson, and we'll let you go. You mentioned at the beginning that you always saw yourself as a college coach, yet you spent 6 years working in the NBA. Now that you're back in the college game, and I'm sure you're aware the college game is a lot different now than it was when you were in college with the explosion of the NIL, the importance of the transfer portal. But now that you're back in the college game, do you see yourself staying there for the foreseeable future of your coaching career?
No, that's a good question, and I think I'll answer it this way. It's another Coach Williams ism. You know, you want to be present, be quick, but don't hurry. And this is a place that I really love, and the landscape of basketball is always changing. You know, it was crazy to even look back on it and say that when I was playing, that you know we were just getting room and board. Now there's guys that are getting money to come play in college basketball. So it's, you know, I love Cullowhee. I love this place. And the biggest thing I'm just focused on right now is helping Western try and get a Southern Conference championship and get to the NCAA tournament somewhere they've not been in since 1996. And that's the main thing that I'm focused on right now. But it's definitely an environment that has changed, and it's an environment that being in the NBA for the past 6 years and seeing how not only being on the court affects players, but also how internal motivation such as money and playing for family means to people. There's a lot that goes into it, and it can be worked out for everybody to succeed from both a team standpoint and a individual standpoint. So that's something that I've definitely taken a lot of pride in early on and explained to our guys about how this place can help them accomplish that. So I think in the foreseeable future, I think that being at Western is going to be something that I'm looking forward to, and helping Coach Kraft and our staff obtain not only on-the-course success with our players, but also off-the-course success as well.
Well, Jackson, we're excited for you. I'm proud of all the work you've done since you've gotten in the coaching world. And I got to tell you, we work with a guy that is a really big Western Carolina fan. And let's just say if the Catamounts make it back to the tournament, I'll be able to tell him that, you know, it happened after they added a former Tar Heel to the staff. And we'll have some fun with that. But we're excited for you, proud of you. I've been following your journey mainly on Instagram since your playing days came to an end at Carolina. And awesome. We just want to thank you for giving us some time today. This was a lot of fun, and I think it's something we need to do again later down the road.
We definitely do. You know, even past me, you know, getting, you know, Coach Kraft on there, you know, being close with in the Gardner Webb, you know, the Shelby area, not being too far down. I know it's something that, you know, we want to reach out to Catamount Nation, not only just in the western part of the state, but, you know, going into Charlotte and going eastern as well. So I'd love to come on here more if that's what you guys would allow, and, you know, maybe even talk about more than just basketball. Talk about some college football and what other sporting events may be going on in the world.
Awesome, sounds good. Thank you for your time today, Jackson.
Appreciate you, Jackson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Thank you. Do you want to thank Jackson for taking time out of his day to come on and talk with us? With it being the off season, we are going to try to work some interviews in with former players, as we always do. And then, of course, guests that cover college basketball on a daily basis. But before we get out of this edition of the show, we got to get you a quick word from one of our partners. Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description. Welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast, guys. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of the show. Make sure you download the Autograph Fandom app. Use that promo code. Help us help you get rewarded for being a fan. That is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Before we let you go, we do encourage you guys to visit the website HeelToughBlog.com for the latest and the best coverage of Carolina basketball and Tar Heel football. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. There, we encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way, you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the basketball off season. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Jackson Simmons for joining us once again. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.